In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm now going to talk about the casting out of the demons and their entering into the swine, and the swine running into the sea today. But I do want to mention one thing about them that came up just last week with the reception of Stephanie as a catechumen. There is a prayer that makes reference, it has to do with the forbidding of the devil or his powers to enter into the person who is being received as a catechumen. And it makes the comment of the devil that he did not even have power over swine. It's obviously a reference to what we've just read. So what's the assumption of that prayer? The assumption is, what we usually assume, the swine ran into the sea because they were full of demons. The demons drove them into the sea. That's not the assumption of that prayer. That prayer assumes that the demons could not even control swine, did not even have power over swine. Why? Because the swine freely, and against the will of the demons, who had no control over them, ran into the sea. So different from our assumption. That's what I'm not going to talk about. What I do want to talk about is what St. Paul has to say about the new faith that is no longer under the law. He's talking about the old covenant and being under the law, the fulfillment of the law, all of those things. There's a great difficulty for us in understanding St. Paul, or, as a matter of fact, the whole of the New Testament, because we have ideas about law and justice that don't go back more than a couple hundred years. Justice is under the law. That's the only kind of law there is, law and order justice. Some of us don't even believe in that kind of justice anymore as Americans, but that's the kind we understand. And in the ancient world, there was a vision of justice as it really would be if it were possible. There was also a feeling that it probably was not possible. The law is given, but does the law establish justice? There have to be judges to interpret the particular situation and apply the commandments of God. And what's going on there is not the same thing as is going on in a modern court of law. The assumptions are different. And these are assumptions that are shared across the ancient world. The Jews know about them, the Greeks know about them, the Syrians know about them, the Persians, everybody knows about them. Things are just when they are whole and balanced by everything that is a part of the whole being in the place that it belongs. And there is peace and wholeness and justice. That's the way human beings would like to be. The head is not trying to do the part of the passions. The passions are not trying to do the part of the head. Everything is functioning the way it ought to function in a human being or in the world. Plato had an idea about this. He said this is absolutely essential for a human being, and it is probably not possible. He goes on, he talks about the city, he talks about a lot of other things. But it's important for us to at least know what justice is. What parts are not in balance with other parts. That's how Plato approached it. That's how a philosopher would approach it. That's how a lot of ancient philosophers approached it. The Jews had the law. The law was supposed to bring them in line with the justice that is God's. St. Paul's criticism of the Judaizers, those people who were trying to be good Christians by trying to be good Jews when they really didn't understand what it meant to be good Jews in the first place, those people, said they have a zeal for God. He gives them that. But they don't have a knowledge of God's righteousness. And so they have a righteousness of their own. They don't know how it is that God is righteous. The difference between the old way and the new way in Christ is that now we know the righteousness of God. In Christ, all is as it should be. Everything is in its place. Our humanity is perfect in Christ. It is at one with Christ's own divinity. He is at the same time both fully God and fully man. In Him, the universe, God's creation, is whole. And He brings wholeness to the world that He created wherever He goes. Because He is the fulfillment of the wholeness that creation desires and would like to move toward. And was meant to move toward through human beings. Our humanity is an essential aspect of this. But we messed that up. We tried to be like God by turning away from God and toward the world, and everything disintegrated. The things that had been moving toward God fell into a new lower state. Christ comes into the world, and He is the one who is perfect. Fully God, fully man, everything whole, everything together. When He blesses something, He brings out of it what it was meant to be. Food is able to be communion with God. Waters are able to purify and have us pass through death into life. All of the capacities of God's creation are fulfilled in the hands of Christ. And so there is a knowledge of the righteousness, the justness of God, how things fit together in God, that had not been possible before. With God, we can't say all the parts are in place. That's a human way of thinking. Human beings were trying to figure out what different aspects of themselves needed to be dealt with and how could they be balanced. There was a spiritual effort in that direction to try to accomplish that. People still engage in that kind of spiritual effort today. But this new revealed righteousness of God, this wholeness that is God Himself, the one who created this world that is meant to be whole, this wholeness of God is personal. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the wholeness of God. And Christ comes into the world in order to bring us into that wholeness. Now we are made right. We are justified. We are made just. We are made balanced. We are made perfect by sharing in Christ's perfection, justice, righteousness. All of those things are fulfilled in Him. That is God's righteousness. To be righteous, to be right with God, is to be made whole by participating in the divinity and humanity of Christ. That's how we're made whole. What has that got to do with the law? The law is fulfilled in Christ. Everything is perfect. Everything is in balance wherever He goes. He is a judgment against whatever departs from the righteousness of God. Is there a contradiction between that and, for example, the Ten Commandments? How could there possibly be a contradiction? They were an effort to draw a line around how far you can go and not be completely beyond any kind of relationship to God. They are a list of things that you cannot do without separating yourself from God. But they can't accomplish righteousness. They can't accomplish holiness. They did lead to a vision of what holiness and righteousness is. and those who willingly followed them instead of accepting them as imposed on them. Those who entered into the spirit of the law, they became the prophets of Christ. They became the righteous of the Old Testament. It was possible to live within the dominion of the law and be righteous in the Old Testament sense. But it did not give the righteousness that is a righteousness of how we actually are. It was based on action, and that's the best place to start. When St. Paul explains these things, he begins by quoting Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And he reminds people about the law. For those who do these things, they will be their life. They'll be their way of life. If the law becomes your way of life, if the law is internalized and guides you, not because it is imposed on you and forbids you to go beyond a certain point, but because you accept it, you internalize it, it's going to be the same thing, St. Paul is trying to get across to us, when it comes to the new way of life, Christ. You have to begin to live the righteousness of God. And we can do that because Christ, Jesus, is both fully God and fully man. Our humanity is fulfilled in Him. Now we know what it means to be a human being. It's not a matter of some philosopher sitting down and figuring out what all the parts of a human being are and trying to get them to fit together and cooperate with one another. We can see in Christ the whole human being fulfilled at one with God. And because we were created to have a relationship to God and can't be fully human without living from His life, now we can live from the life that is Christ's life. Now we know the justice, the righteousness of God, because we have Christ. No conflict with the law, but we are not governed by rules and regulations. We surpass those rules and regulations. And wherever we go as Christians, if we are living a life that has entered into a love of God and living by the Holy Spirit, we are able to live as Christ lives. That is, from His divine life. Remember when St. Paul said, when those who have never heard the law live according to the law, they are a law unto themselves. No American can hear that without thinking of some kind of, there he is, a law unto himself, you know, and all of that kind of nonsense. But of course, that's not what St. Paul meant. What he meant was, there is a way to be. It's revealed to us in Christ. But even before the time of the coming of Christ, and even with those people who did not have the law given to them, as the law was given to Moses and the Jews, for even those people, that way of life that fulfills a human being, it's the same fulfillment. And so when people live according to that, they're living according to the law already. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of humanity for all human beings. In the prayer that Christ prays in the garden, toward the end of the prayer, there are a few passages that are seldom mentioned. I've never heard them brought up in a sermon. Jesus says something that is kind of frightening. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, those that you have given me. And he prays that they might be one as he and the Father are one. Jesus Christ no longer needs to be in the world as he was in the world between his birth and the time of his resurrection, and then finally the time of his ascension. Why? Because he is leaving behind Christians. These are in the world. They will be his presence. We call the church the body of Christ. It's us. We Christians are the presence of Christ in the world. Jesus Christ came and made it possible for us to live as full and whole human beings, for us to be Christ bearers, for us to live in the world and reveal the wholeness and the fullness that is Jesus Christ Himself. Now each of us reveals that as ourselves. That's how we are fulfilled. By each revealing it by who we are in particular. How can that do anything other than fulfill who and what we are? That is how we are fulfilled. Doing that is our salvation. It is the salvation of the particular and unique and individual persons that we are. You know, sometimes people say, well, where is the individual person in all of this? Because you're always talking about salvation as a member of the body of Christ. And, you know, we Orthodox emphasize the fact that we are not saved alone. We are saved along with all of the others. In fact, not just all of the other human beings, but we are saved along with the whole of creation that Christ saved. He came into the world and he was the wholeness and the fullness and the balance and the justice, and wherever he went, things were as they were meant to be, and he is the same for human beings as he is for the rest of creation. It's the salvation of all of creation, not just human beings. We are the ones who mess things up. We are the ones who mess things up. But we are not saved as isolated individuals. We are saved as members of the shared life in Christ. We can't isolate ourselves and be Christians. Yes, there is that message. And sometimes people, Americans, they hear so much of that from us as Orthodox, they want to know, well, how about me? How about the individual? You know, well, this is it. Our salvation is by revealing Christ in the unique and particular and always limited. I mean, you can't have unique and particular without having limited, and we don't have to worry because all of us are unique and particular and limited and specific and particular human beings. And as a matter of fact, we love one another exactly for that. We love one another for our uniqueness. We're all different. And once we begin to be able to see the presence of Christ in others, we are surrounded by all of these wonderfully different human beings. That's the way it is. We are meant to be the presence of Christ in the world. It is no longer necessary for him to be present in the world the way he was before his ascension, because he has left Christians in the world. He has saved humanity. He has made it possible for human beings to be real human beings. Just see how different that is from our kind of cheap and self-oriented focus on our own individual lives and what God is going to do for me this day in my lonely travels through life as I try to live without God. You know, we see those signs in our part of the country. Get right with God. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Get right with God. And so long as you want to, in fact, I even thought, well, now that I understand what the sign means, I want to go put one up. Get whole with God. Get to be what God means for a human being to be. Get right, get just. How? By God. How can we say this? Because you see, what the sign really is talking about, divinization. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. With his perfection, not yours. And remembering that in the Greek it means moving toward that perfection. Not suddenly beginning to be perfect, but moving toward that perfection. It takes us time to live. We have a lifetime. We don't have to accomplish it in a moment. We just need to get started in moving in that direction. And so maybe the sign should say, get right, move toward divinization by God. You know, we're just not going to be able to do that. But the sign is just fine the way it is. So next time you see it, think about the real meaning. Get right with God. Be whole. As God means for us to be, with his wholeness, with his righteousness, we can do that in our lives. It's the only source of guidance for a human being. It is the only guidance system that there is for a human being. So, repent. Get right with God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.